Hola, you're listening to Las Chicas del Crime, a podcast where tres amigas sit down and talk all things true crime for Hispanic and American crimes. This episode of Las Chicas del Crime contains explicit content not suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hola, we are back.
Hola, hola, hola.
I don't even know how we're going to be putting these out, but just know that we recorded this first and you guys are getting a bunch of cases.
Yes.
So,
a lot of fresh content coming y'all's way. Sorry it's been a little slow. We've had life going on.
Life gets in the way sometimes of lifing, to be honest. Like,
life gets in the way of life.
Yeah. Like, and you got to work with that. So.
And you just got to keep on lifing.
Gotta keep on swimming. We're gonna try and work hard so you guys don't miss any episodes.
Yes.
Regarding of life.
That's true.
So
we're here. We're gonna get to it because we got a lot to talk about today. So, all right, Elsa. ¿Para dónde vamos hoy?
We are going.
Oh, wait. We have to introduce ourselves.
Oh, my God. I'm Elsa.
I'm Jen.
Y somos
las chicas del crime.
You. So. Today. We're going to be going none other than to Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, ATL, baby.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
I've been to Atlanta twice. I've been to Georgia twice. I've been to Atlanta once.
I've been to Atlanta a few times. It's chill. Not as an adult, though, so.
I went as an adult, but not to, like, party or anything.
I heard it's lit.
Which I want to.
We should
try. Yeah,
take chicas to ATL.
I'm always down for a party.
If any of our listeners are from Atlanta, let us know.
Let us know where to go, to be. I like reggaeton and hip hop, so Jen likes house music. So
I like it all, though. Hold on.
Yeah, Jen does like it.
Take us
all
to a Spanish club or, you know.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
And I wonder if there's like a lot of Spanish clubs, like other places, because I feel like Tampa, there's gonna be Spanish clubs, just like in Miami, because we're very Hispanic, Latin oriented, and I wonder, like, other places, like.
I don't know if Atlanta has a very Hispanic,
like, this
scene,
diverse scene.
Right. Y'all can let us know.
We've never been to the nightclubs that we were talking about. So let us know what the nightclubs are looking like in Atlanta. But shit, I don't mind bumping into, you know what I'm saying, a couple rappers. There's a couple Atlanta rappers I like, not all of them.
And there's a few.
I won't say who I don't like because I might get some hate.
We don't want that right now.
But I like a couple. Well, my favorite rapper is Jeezy, so there's that.
There you go.
Yes. Anyway, so back to Atlanta, back to our case, back to what we're talking about. We are going to be in Atlanta around the 1970s, early 1980s, and we're going to be talking about none other than the Atlanta Child Murders.
Oh! And you know what's great is that I almost watched the series
on
this.
I'm glad you didn't.
And I'm glad I have not, because now I'm going to be completely surprised.
Bro, and
I don't know when this happens.
There is a lot. So we're going to get to all of the victims, because there is a lot of them. And then we're going to, I'm not sure how I'm going to divide it, but I think I'm going to divide it then after I get done talking about the victims, then we'll be talking about the trial, the everything, and at the end, my theories, which I have a theory that I haven't seen, so we'll talk about that.
Ooh, I like theories that haven't been talked about yet.
I don't know if they haven't been talked about, but I didn't see it with my research.
All right, well, you know so, what? Like you said, we don't know.
We
so
don't know, so to
we
me,
talk about it.
Yes, we
right.
are talking
we
about
here.
It.
We're the first.
Okay, so there's a lot of repetitive stuff within the victims because the victims are very similar.
Okay.
And, you know, I still want to give each one of them their name, so we're just going to talk about what I found. So, on July 21st, 1979, Edward Hope Smith, a young 14-year-old boy, was reported missing. Most of the victims, except at the end, and I'll get to that, they're all, like, good built, they're, you know, they're strong for their age, because they kind of run around doing odd jobs for money. They are from a you know, lower class, kind of poverty line, background, so they go around doing odd jobs so they could get a little money, you know, little hustlers. So they do that. They kind of, they're athletic. They, you know, they're good built. So Edward was, like I said, a good build for his age. He was athletic. He was street smart. Edward would make money doing odd jobs around the neighborhood. And this specific day, Edward had made enough money actually to take his girlfriend out on another date.
Oh, cute. Okay.
Yeah, a little cutie.
We like a romantic king.
We love a romantic king.
All right.
And unfortunately, after the date, leaving, I believe it was a skating rink. I don't know. I didn't write it down, but I believe it was a skating rink. Edward was never seen again.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So,
rough.
I know. A lot of, like, witnesses came forward and said that they saw Edward getting into a car. And whereas that could be, obviously, you know, very much true, Edward didn't trust anybody. So, the family and his friends said that if they were, if Edward was to get into a car with somebody, it would be somebody he knew and he trusted. So.
Okay. But unfortunately, we know that when things like this happen, it don't always work out that way.
And not only that, I think that he might have known who he left with.
Oh.
And we will get to
okay,
it.
Okay, twists.
Yes.
Let's see. Let's hear it.
I mean, you know how most kids that get kidnapped and unfortunately killed or abused.
It's usually not by a stranger.
It's by not by
right,
a stranger, so.
Which is the craziest shit to me, because it's like, I guess it makes sense, though, because sometimes shit like that is so, like, it's right underneath your nose
and
you
don't
just
see
miss it.
Yeah.
Right?
Like the Ariel Castro, like that, all of those
God.
Girls were his daughter's friends,
houses
his kid's friends.
Like minutes away from where they lived.
Yeah, that, yeah. So.
Crazy.
Only 4 days later, another child, Alfred Evans, who was 13, also went missing. Just like Edward, he was athletic and street smart. He also did money for odd jobs, and unlike Edward, when Alfred didn't come home, his mom was not too concerned because sometimes he stayed out to, like, make money. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't until the next day that she reported him missing. But the police didn't take it seriously because Alfred had ran away from home before.
Okay. Which is, I hate that clause because it's like, so what?
That doesn't
take away from the danger that he's, you know, a child out there without consent of the parent and we don't even have any idea where they're at,
okay.
You know?
And not only that, I feel like, we know that cops, that these kids usually get kidnapped or hurt by somebody they know.
Right.
We also know that usually these kids who are from a lower income home that are being raised by single parents that are of need are usually the ones that,
more vulnerable
people target the most. So I don't understand why that's a thing. Like, if they're missing, try to look for them. Like, you know.
And I hate that you have to wait the whole, because some people say, oh, no, you don't have to wait 24 hours, but that's still enforced.
I think, yeah, so I think, I remember Kat and we talked about it, so I think by law, you don't have to, but like you said, it's still enforced, so even if it's not a law, it doesn't matter, because that's what the fuck they're doing.
Right.
So, just do your job, that's all we're saying.
For real, please show up, because my tax dollars are not here for you to be using for no reason.
Okay.
Okay, I'm tired of this. This police force need to get it together.
Yes.
There's too many kids out there for y'all not to be looking for them.
Way too many. So, only a week later, both of these boys were found in a wooded area in southwest Atlanta. One of them, which was Smith, had been killed with a 22 caliber gun while Evans had been strangled.
Oh, no.
Since both bodies were found together, the cops thought that they had been
together.
But they later realized they had been reported missing.
But that's wrong speculation, because it's like, how are you going to assume that they even knew each other?
I think the same thing.
Ugh.
So, later on, it's an excuse, but later on, these cases were not followed up because the police had received a tip that the killings were drug-related. According to them, the tip was believable, so they just didn't follow up through.
Ugh.
Apparently, they had seen them at a drug house, and they have fought. But, I mean, even if it was drug-related, why are you not looking for the killer of two children?
Yeah, that doesn't make it any less, like,
right.
Severe.
Like, they're still
two kids were lost.
Okay.
Like,
and they were kids. Like, they were early teens. Like, and I don't care what anybody says. You don't look at a child 14, 15, 13, which is, you know, the ages that we're at, and you think, oh, that's a grown person. No, like, bro, no. The fuck? Even if it was a grown person, go to your job. Like, the fuck?
Facts, because it's like, at the end of the day, the age of the person should not
determine,
like, yeah, determine the level of severity or, you know, what's the word? I can't think of the word right now.
Intensity. And yeah. I feel like, okay, had they not, like, had they were just missing and they were older, then you could always, like, you know, say that they probably just ran away or whatever and they didn't want to live there anymore.
Yeah.
You literally found them killed. Like, it's not like you didn't find
them.
Right,
like, right. You found them dead. Like, it's not like you just never...
Some work.
There's no traction of them being somewhere. There's no debit card trail or anything like that. So it's like, how are you just going to sit there and completely just write it off like nothing? You're not concerned how two kids just show up dead?
And together. And then you find out that they were reported missing on different days. And like...
So obviously they weren't.
Exactly. So the mom literally said, you know, the first kid who was reported missing, she said he had been missed, like, she reported him missing right away, and then the second one, it was one day later. Alfred's mom reported missing one day later, but that was still like a 5-day difference between when they went missing, like, from each other. So why is that not being looked into?
Correct.
So
something's fishy here.
Very much fishy. And you know, it's kind of a lot of, I know usually a lot of people like kind of put it to where, you know, the police officers, the people around them were white, but no, at this time in Atlanta, almost like all of it's like the mayor, the people that worked in the police force were black. So I don't understand where the disconnect is. Like, just do your job.
Like,
you know,
there shouldn't be that gray area of racial profiling like there normally is.
Exactly.
Because then you would be like, it's not to justify, but it gives us more understanding as to why they are so lax with actually doing their job. And see, that's something that pisses me off real quick to talk about, because there are instances where we see white cops with, like, maybe a straggler of a few black cops or Hispanic, whichever, of color.
Yeah.
And there's not that connection where you would think that those cops then step in and kind of balance that authority,
right?
And they're actually joining in. So it's like, at what point do we feel like even the, you know, the people of color within the system are really for justice and balance?
What did Ice Cube say?
What?
There's the lyric, but I'm trying to think of it.
Because I'm not the one to quote Ice Cube. Not that I don't like him, but it ain't in my mind. You want me to Google it?
Don't let it be a black or a white one. He's talking about cops. They'll slam you down to the street top. Black police showing up for the white cop. That's what he said. And fuck the police in the song.
Right, right.
So I was like, I just couldn't think of like the exact lyric. And I'm like, let me think of it.
Yeah,
but so like, it's, you know, it's true. Like, they're not balancing it out. They're actually like allying with things that they shouldn't like. And at the end of the day, I understand how everything that we just mentioned does have a lot to do with race. This is like, bro, you're a cop. Like, just do your job. We're not asking you to go up above and beyond. Just do your job. That's all we're saying.
Right.
So,
right.
But in here, it was even worse because cops were black. So,
annoying.
Yeah. On September 14th, so this is like back to back because it was July. Then it's now September. You know, it's not that big of a difference. A couple months difference. 14-year-old Milton Harvey was running an errand for his mother. He had went to the bank, and that was the last time he was ever seen. His body was discovered months later in November. Milton's mom had reported him missing, but the police never believed her, and he was just chatted out to be a runaway.
Oh, my God.
Only a month. And some weeks later, Yusuf Bell, a 9-year-old kid, was running an errand for a neighbor, and he was also never seen again. A witness saw Yusuf get in a blue car, and pay attention to the cars that these kids get looked into, like, get taken into, because there is a pattern. It's not, like, exactly the same, because we know how eyewitness works, but there is a pattern. His body was discovered in November, as well as Milton's, in an abandoned elementary school. He was still wearing clothes he had last been seen wearing, with some type of something attached to his pants. He had been hit over the head twice with some type of object, but the cause of death was strangulation. Since Joseph was not a problematic child, his mother did not allow the police to brush him off as a runaway. His mother, Camille Bell, says she knew there was something wrong. She felt it.
As she should.
Yes.
Good.
And I just feel like, even if I do think my son's running away, like, I need y'all to go look for my son. Right. The fuck?
No, I'm still pressing that.
Yes. In 1980, people started talking about there being a serial killer targeting young black boys in these poorer communities. Even though after Yusuf Bell, there was a four-month cooling off period. So, after Yusuf Bell, like, okay, so I've told you when they were being found and they were being reported missing and stuff. And it was kind of like a month. And after Yusuf, there's a four-month cooling off period. And then it's back to back to back. So.
Interesting.
Yeah. On March 4th of 1980, there was a girl victim who was found.
Is this the first girl victim?
This is the first girl victim. And we'll get to it.
Okay.
Angel Lanier. She disappeared as she left from her house around 4 p.m. She was last seen at her friend's house. Her body was found six weeks later, in a wooded area. She was found with a pair of panties that did not belong to her. She was bound with an electrical cord.
Oh, no.
And, yeah, and there was also signs of sexual abuse.
Ugh. Poor girl.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Yes. Only 1 week later after Angel's disappearance, 11-year-old Jeffrey Mathis disappeared while he was running an errand for his mom.
Why are all these kids running errands, though? Hold on.
I think it was another time. Because, like...
That's true. When we were kids, it was a different time.
Like, yeah. I was, like, 6 years old running errands for my grandma. My grandma was older, too. I didn't live with my parents, you know.
Makes sense. So, yeah. So, like... That kind of went over my head quickly.
Yeah. And then, what I'm thinking is that the area... Not what I'm thinking. What I saw. The area that they were, like... based off, it was like kind of like a smaller community. It's kind of like, you know, where you go,
okay, like, you know, small town type of thing.
Yeah. So Jeffrey was seen getting into a blue car with two men.
Another blue car.
His body was discovered in a wooded area, and his body was discovered almost a year later.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So by this time, the media had picked up that, you know, there were children being murdered, mm-hmm. and they called them the Atlanta child murders. So, you know, for anyone who didn't know what was happening in Atlanta, Atlanta at this time had a really high rate of murder, but most murders were like a home thing, like, you know, a parent killing a child, and then, you know, they would throw them, you know, somewhere, or... But it wasn't, like, random, you know, to an extent like this.
Like serial killing type of thing.
Exactly.
Which is kind of what this is alluding to.
Exactly. Okay. It's kind of going there. 1 week later, on May 18, a 15-year-old boy named Eric Middlebrooks disappeared. He was last seen leaving his house. His body and his bicycle that he had left his house on. That was such a weird sentence I wrote. He left his house. And his body has a bicycle. He had left his house in. Yeah. He left his house in a bicycle. Sorry. And this bicycle had been found next to a bar. His cause of death was blunt force trauma to the head. Oh. And he was stabbed several times.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes.
So it's like now they're picking up in violence too a little bit.
So.
Or they're changing their MO.
I think, I'll say it now because we do get into it later, but I do think that those first two boys, that one of them was shot and the other one was strangled, I think that that is exactly when the murderer picks up his MO.
Okay.
So we will get to them and I'll get closer to them, but I can say it now. I don't think that all of these cases were, like, all these children were murdered by the same person. Okay. I do think that things like the girl Angel, I think that was just a sexual deviant, you know, case where she was stolen, like, by her house. And, you know, because she gets found by her house and all these bodies are being found nowhere near their house.
I was just going to ask you, are they being found in, like, the same area, like, remote areas? Remote areas, else?
Yes. Okay. So that is also, like, a pattern.
Okay.
So
we have similar cars.
Similar cars.
And these bodies are being found in similar areas. Not the same ones, but similar areas.
Yes, similar looking areas, okay. Kind of by itself, kind of. So, when I first started researching this, I had heard about this a long time, and it was just like, yeah, the Atlanta child murder. Then I went into it, and I heard it, and I heard, like, both sides, and I was not convinced that he was a serial killer. Like, I was just like, you know, I was not convinced of it. But then I kept doing more research, and then I came up to my own conclusion that, yes, the person that we will get to, it was a serial killer. Yes, he killed most of these kids. Yes, his MO then progresses, and we will get to that too. But I do also feel that a lot of these cases were not
connected
to him. Just because the MO changes, like,
certain things stand
so much out. There being a girl, like, there was not that many girls.
Right, because, like, we're noticing the pattern. They're young boys.
They're young boys, yeah. And the pattern does change, but then it changes to something else, and then it stays the same. And we will get to it.
Oh, what's his name? John Wayne Gacy, is that you?
Hello. We always turn back to him. I hate it. Bro, I hate it here.
Somehow always connected in a way. He's somewhere. We just hate you.
Yeah. Just know. Wherever you're at in hell.
Just know.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. You knew.
You knew. Oh, please. Check Chica's Cheesy for that, guys.
Yeah, yeah. Please. We're coming back to that. Please.
So.
I love it.
Then, on June 9th, so this is literally, like, a month later, 12-year-old Christopher Richardson went missing on the way to a pool. He was last seen walking towards Midway Recreation Center to swim. His body was found the year later in January, wearing swimming shorts that were not his. His body was so decomposed that the cause of death could not be determined. This was like 3 weeks later, June 22nd, 7-year-old Latoya Wilson was abducted from her parents' home. There was a witness that said that they saw two men leave with Latoya. Her body was found later on October 18th in a fence area. Her body was so decomposed that her cause of death was also not determined.
Okay, so those two kind of seem separate.
Yes.
Got it.
Well.
Ish. No?
Latoya, yes. Christopher, since we don't have the cause of death, we could go iffy on that one because we're not 100% sure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he did fit the age and the neighborhood that, you know, they were being taken from and stuff. The next day, and this is why I don't believe Latoya was
part of it,
because literally the day after Latoya goes missing, 10-year-old Aaron Wyche, I might have pronounced that wrong. I'm sorry. Wyche.
Okay. I don't know. I'm going to go with Wyche.
Okay. Disappeared after he went into a grocery store. A witness said that Aaron got into a blue truck with two black men. Mm. The next day, his body was found under a bridge. Cause of death was asphyxiation. And he also had a broken neck, but that was due to a fall. So he died of asphyxiation.
Okay. Similar MO.
Very similar.
Okay.
At this point, kids are being found and killed right away. And I want to know that whomever's killing these kids, is either getting very reckless, which tends to happen with serial killers, or is feeling the pressure from the police, because the police and the news did pick up, like, by now on this. Maybe there wasn't too much motion in the ocean when it came to detective work.
I'm fucking dead.
But there was definitely a lot of talk of the kids going missing. Like, the neighborhoods were like, you know, like, yo, what's going on? And there even is a time where, like, people in their own neighborhoods, they kind of, like, watch over it with, like, bats and stuff and, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Take it in their own hands.
Yes, which I'm not mad at it.
You know what? No, because if the cops ain't doing their work, somebody has to.
Yes. So here I'm like, blue car. This is another blue car that gets mentioned, like we just said. So we're now in July. July, two more children were murdered. Excuse me. On July 6th, 90-year-old Anthony Carter was last seen playing hide-seek with his cousin. His body was found the next day on July 6th at a warehouse. On July 7th. He was missing on July 6th. And July 7th, he was found. Okay. He had been stabbed to death. His body seemed to have been moved and IKEA were found.
Mm.
Yeah. So. On July 30th, 10-year-old Earl Terrell had been with his friend, who he called brother. So I guess they kind of grew up together. They went to a pool and was kicked out for being, like, you know, rough. Nothing major. There was three live sightings of Terrell. One was at the bench near the pool after he was kicked out. Then he was last also seen looking for a friend at somebody's house. And in the corner store crying. His body was found with Christopher Richardson, the other boy who was also last seen going to the pool. That's why when you were like, oh, I think that's different. I was like, I don't think so, because it was to go into the pool. And from what I understand, these pools were, like, in recreation centers.
Yeah, like community pools.
So, you know, that's kind of where went. So
easy to get them together.
Exactly.
Okay.
Clifford Jones was a 12-year-old who was last seen August 20th. He was going around with his cousin collecting cans, as that was one of the ways he made some money. Oh. It is reported that Clifford then went to help a woman with her groceries for more money. And that was the last time he was seen. That was funny.
Yeah, they're all disappearing from the same place. Like,
yeah.
Or similar places. Shopping centers, very public sightings.
Yes. Clifford Jones was found on November 11th. Huh? I am so sorry. I don't know why I put that. When Clifford Jones was found, some of the other victims' mom, like, applied pressure. They're like, nah, this is happening all the time. And, like, what is going on?
Right.
So, okay. I already went about this when, even though Atlanta's mayor and most of his Congress, like, from there were black, they were being dismissive of how many people were going missing. At the time, Atlanta had a higher murder rate, so they were kind of chucking it to that. But after Clifford Jones and the moms were like, nah, y'all got our kids fucked up, on November 11th, Atlanta's Attorney General William French ordered the FBI to join the case.
Okay.
When the FBI comes and joins the case, shit gets crazy because the FBI comes in, he starts looking. One thing that the FBI does is he goes around the neighborhood where all these kids were going missing. He is a white man, and there's a black police officer driving him around, from my understanding. And he got a lot of attention being there, right? And from that, and the way everything else is going, he said that the killer was more than likely to be a black man, as it would be hard for a white man to move in and out easily from those areas.
That makes sense.
The killer was of average intelligence. He was accurate and presented himself as an authoritative figure to these kids. This person was also said to either constantly be changing jobs or be self-employed.
Mm.
So, and like I said, the FBI comes out with this and they're like, no, there's no way. Because at this point, like, the term serial killers was very, very new. And they believed that serial killers were only white people. Or white men.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know.
All right.
And also, I think at that time, you got to see, like, the time it was. MLK had just gotten murdered a couple years prior.
What year are we in again?
1980s.
Okay.
Yeah. So, there was, like, a lot of animosity with, like, you know, protecting and yeah, and protecting their own, which is black people, which I can understand.
Of course.
You know, so that's what they were at. And then there was other rumors that we will get to it. And I feel like that also kind of added fire to the fact that they didn't believe that there was a black serial killer. On September 14, Darren Deron Glass was last seen. Deron was 11 years old. He lived in a foster family. Deron had gone to a baseball game and he was seen getting off the bus. One of Deron's foster brothers claimed that he had gotten caught from Deron up until late November. However, his body has never been found and Deron's still missing. Oh, wow. So this is one of the cases that I also don't think
was
because you don't even know what happened to him. So we can't even say yes. The, you know, he does fit the victim. But I don't know. I feel like the fact that they never found his body and then they found all these kids' bodies, I think that that's a big difference because where is that body now? You know,
it could have been also something to throw the cops off.
Right. Yes. And I do think that this person does that. So that is a great point. Because later on we'll talk about how I'm like, I think he did that to throw them off. Yeah. So, this is September 4th. That was September 14th. So, on October 9th, 10-year-old Charles Stephen was at home watching TV. He was drawing. Then he left home to visit a friend slash cousin and never saw him playing outside with the skateboard and was never seen again. This same neighbor also saw a man who wouldn't respond to him. Like, he was like, I guess he was like, yo, what's up? Or like, hey, how are you? I don't know how that was. And he just would not respond to him. Odd. Very odd. But I also, there's another odd thing about here. So I just feel like, I don't know. Charles' body was then found on a grassy hill by a trailer park. His cause of death was asphyxiation. Dog hairs and Caucasian head hairs were found on his body.
Oh, wow.
Two pubic hairs were found on Charles' boxers. And they were found, the boxers were not on, like, he was not wearing them, but they were found near him. Okay. So, the same neighbor that supposedly saw Charles play with the skateboard and supposedly saw the person who didn't say nothing to him, also saw the same guy who had not said anything to him around the day that Charles' body was found. I don't know what the odds are that, because I feel like, you saw him every time. Like, I feel like that's weird. But, you know, maybe that's what happened. We don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, like, that. What?
Yeah, like, it's just weird how, like, you see everything. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
you see all this motion, but you don't tell anybody what the fuck's going on.
Exactly.
So, how are you credible? Are you in on it?
Are you?
Is you? Is you guilty?
Is you guilty? What is 50 Cent? Whatever he did that shit.
Okay.
Whatever.
Facts.
November 1st, Aaron Jackson, a 9-year-old, he was a baby, he was a 9-year-old boy, went missing from the mall. He was found of Forest Park Road. His cause of death was suffocation by asphyxiation, and his body was found on November 9th.
Okay, so again, another similar MO.
Yes. Just one day later, Aaron's body... Just one day later after Aaron's body was found, November 10th, Patrick Rogers, a 19-year-old musician writer, was last seen. He had been reportedly around with his 7-year-old brother at a bus stop, and then he went around looking for a friend so they could record his own music. His body was found December 7th, and his cause of death was blunt force trauma to the head.
Okay, another repetitive.
Yeah.
So they're either being strangled, stabbed, or blunt force trauma to the head.
Mm-hmm.
Blue cars, wooded areas.
Yes.
That's all the commonalities we have. Oh, and adolescent boys, for the most part.
Yeah. Kids, children, yes. So now we're going into 1981. The bodies are not stopping. Kids are still going missing. The police is kind of working on it, but they're not really connecting nothing just yet.
Y'all not moving quick enough.
Not for me. I like it to be fast.
Okay.
Fast.
Especially about the kids.
Please. On January 3rd of 81, Luby Getter, a 50-year-old, was last seen at the mall. And this is also, like, the mall is a repetitive place where these kids are last seen.
Right. Shopping centers and public places, correct.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There was a couple eyewitnesses that said that Luby had went into different color cars, but you know, we can a note to that because it was like three different people, three different color cars. Louis's body was found on February 5th in a wooded area. He was found wearing nothing but his shorts. The rest of his clothes were less than a mile away from his body. His cause of death was asphyxiation by manual strangulation. His body had been mutilated by animals, though, but they were still able to tell the cause of death. In Luby's case, this is something that starts happening and then it stops. Someone did call the cops by a payphone, admitting that they had been the killer. They went to the payphone where the phone call was made, and there was, like, no leads after that. I mean, it's a fucking payphone,
Of course. What are you going to find there?
Exactly. Then, weeks later, on January 22nd, Terry Pugh was last seen trading bottles for money near a mall. A day after his disappearance, Terry's body was found in what looked to be a rural area. His body was found with bruises all over his body. The cause of death was asphyxiation by ligature strangulation. As in Luby's case, in Terry Pugh's case, somebody who had been believed to be the same man as the last phone call called to say they had killed and put another body in that area. And that is when Terry's body was found.
Okay.
There were also dog hairs found on Terry. So days after Terry's body was found, none other than President Ronald Reagan sent out two Justice Department officials to help. So he was doing his little tug bizzle, but we know about Reagan, whatever.
Yeah, we do. And if you don't know, look it up.
Look it up, please.
Clearly
young. Yeah.
Clearly you're new here.
You are new to the United States. Okay. On February 6th, Patrick Wayne Balthasar, a 12-year-old who cleaned restaurants, washed dishes, and sold cotton candy, was last seen. Patrick called the police himself as he said that a man had been following him, screaming that he was going to kill him. But no cops ever showed up.
Interesting.
Child called that he needs a fucking help and
y'all don't show up.
And nobody shows up.
Very on brand since y'all also killed the people that are calling you for help.
Yes.
And not save the aggressor. Yeah, okay.
Patrick had been seen later that day after this call at an arcade. His body was found on February 13 in an overgrown area behind some apartments. Scraped bruises and dog hairs were found on Patrick.
Okay, so now dog hairs are becoming part of the MO.
Yes. Okay. His cause of death was asphyxiation by ligature. At this time, on February 17, the authorities announced that the fabric materials found on the body of Patrick Balthasar, who was a 16 victim, will allow them to link other of the children who they have found together. So now they're like, yeah, there's definitely a serial killer.
Like, interesting.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Plots and twists. When this happens, things a little change. And the way bodies are disposed is one of them. And I just think that, you know, had they looked into this a little earlier, a lot of these murders would have been prevented because it was very, like...
There's ways you could start picking up what the fuck's going on.
It was very notorious, like, noticeable that it was a pattern. There was definitely a pattern. Like, we're talking about it right now and we don't even have... We're not living through it, and we could see a pattern very easily. Absolutely. So
we've already named so many commonalities of the cases, and that's one of the biggest signs of a serial killer.
Exactly.
So the MO says everything.
So literally a month after they found some evidence, they started looking into it. They were able to link this, which is like I said, they would have been able to stop this way later.
Right.
2 days later, after the police announcement on February 19, Curtis Walker, 13, who was 13, was last seen walking towards yet another mall. He had just got done picking up trash for money, and, you know, that was the last time he was seen. Curtis' body was found on March 6th wearing nothing but his underwear. Cause of death was asphyxiation by strangulation. The dogs had tracked his scent to a nearby school, but that was like as far as they got. Witnesses came forward saying they had seen a green pickup truck parked by where his body was found the week before. Then, like, literally, like, 0.75 miles, like, one-third of a mile, I'm guessing, because I don't know why they put it on point. Whatever. From where his Curtis's body was found, a reverend, the reverend from the church that was right there, had gotten phone calls saying that they had killed Curtis.
What?
Yeah. So now, there's another truck, and I feel like green and blue, that's hard to not... Like, that's not hard to, like, get mixed up.
Right. They're not similar colors.
Yeah. So.
Unless you're seeing them at night, then maybe.
Exactly. And I feel like maybe, but you don't know, you know?
Because I can see how they both look like dark blue at night.
Yeah. So, there's always that chance. The phone calls are also, like, a pattern at this point, or, like, till then, because it's been, like, four cases that. Phone calls have been made. I don't know why to the reverend, but, you know, I think a lot of reverends were very involved because, you know, they were community leaders. Yeah. And stuff. On March 2nd, 15-year-old Joseph Bell was reported by his friend Eugene getting into a station wagon with a man named Wayne Williams.
Wayne Williams.
But this was not backed up by Joseph's back brother, as he said that the day of Joseph's disappearance, he asked Eugene about Joseph, and Eugene could not tell him anything about, like, his disappearance. A man had seen Joseph going to play basketball earlier the day he disappeared. He said Joseph called him and told him he was almost dead. So, again, because these are smaller communities, this man was somebody, like, in, like, a corner store, and I guess he had a phone, and that's who has seen Joseph going to the basketball court, and that's who gotten a phone call from Joseph saying that he thought he was, you know, gonna be killed. He was almost dead. On March 7th, two calls were made to Joseph Warren saying that they had Joseph. But Joseph's body was found on April 19 in a trail that was 2 miles deep into the woods. Okay, so with this one, it was a little... At the end, there's a lot of cases that I'm like, what the fuck? There's so many people involved, and I think that it was so many people coming forward saying what they thought they saw because they were trying to help, that it's just like, you know, XOXO said this, and then YZ said this, and I'm just like, whoa. So... Joseph Bell lived with his grandma because, according to the research I did, his mom was in prison for killing his dad.
Oh, wow.
But when they said that they called whomever was in charge of Joseph, they call her, like, they're like, they called Joseph's mom to tell them that they had the body. But I just feel like, well, the mom was in prison, so I don't know exactly what that's about. But his body was found in, you know. So, on March 5th, Reagan's back at it again, giving the city $979,000, I think that's, I don't know, almost $1 million. Mm-hmm. Is that what it is? Yeah. Mm-hmm. To fund the youth improvement programs and a 24-hour hotline for tips. Muhammad Ali also gave mad cash. Like, he doubled whatever, like, was being given to them to help the investigation.
Oh, wow.
And right after that, on March 10th, there was a fundraiser where Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis Jr. performed to raise money for the cause. Mm. And this is another case that I found a little confusing because there was a lot of people that saw him. There was a lot of people that said that knew who killed them. And it's a lot. So just if you have questions, let me know. Timothy Hill was... A 13-year-old who was last seen the weekend of Friday the 13th. And I say the weekend of Friday the 13th because there's supposedly sightings of him on Friday, Saturday, and even on Sunday.
Okay.
So, he was either last seen in his backyard or at a pedophile's house named Uncle Tom.
Great.
Yeah. Apparently, Uncle Tom had some type of mud-like drug, which he would make the kids, like, smell to get high and sexually assault them.
The hell is going on?
Yes. There's a neighbor named Frankie who was 34, and said he had had sex with Timmy. So he had raped him. Like, the child. He's a child. He's 30. Timmy's 13, and you're 34. My man, you raped him.
Pedophile. For sure.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So, I was like, so he was a pedophile and a rapist. Tim was reported to be seen at a rally for missing children. Like, I guess that they were having because all the children were missing. Then, that was on Sunday. Then on Monday, he called his teacher twice crying. Why did he call his teacher? I'm not sure. But, you know, I feel like a lot of things here, because they were in a, you know, in the neighborhood they lived in, a lot of third persons will step in. So I'm not doubting that. I just feel like with this one, I don't think that this had nothing to do with the serial killer that we're talking about.
Okay.
Because he literally had been assaulted by two different men and was last seen in a pedophile's house. Like, you know what I'm saying? And like, yeah, I don't think that is weird.
Yeah.
Tim's body was found on March 10 in the Chattahoochee River. He was found with nothing.
I've been there before.
But his underwear, and the cause of death was asphyxiation.
Poor dude. Oh my God.
So here, I feel like the river is brand new. Yes, asphyxiation, but I feel like he could have been raped and then tried to fight back and then got choked to death and then got thrown in the river.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
this
is when the victimology changes a little, and the victims are mostly 17 and older, which, you know, it shifts us a little bit, and then we will get to it. So I think that throwing the bodies into the river was for two reasons. The rapist had did it, because I don't think that was, to it. And they were already getting all those hairs, remember?
Mm-hmm. To
remove evidence. And then since they was already seen, they were like, oh, let me change it to the river. And then they won't be like, oh, they're still being found in remote areas. Also, the fact that now the victims are older than 17, I feel like they try to change their MO so they would think that it was somebody else. On March 20, 1 week after Tim went missing, Eddie Duquesne, a 21-year-old who was last sightings were, same thing, three of them. They were at a game room, at the corner, or getting into a car with a light-skinned man. No one is sure, but all the people around him knew that Eddie was supposed to be helping somebody move for $200.
Okay.
And then his body was found on March 31st in the Chattahoochee River, a few feet away from where Tim was found 24 hours prior.
Okay.
As well as Tim, he was found with nothing but his underwear on, and his cause of death was undetermined.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Undetermined.
Once the second body was found, it is said that, like, the FBI was like, we need to start staking out rivers because he's obviously, that's what he's doing.
Right.
At this point, like, hella people were trying to supposedly, according to them, help. There was search teams for more bodies. They grout out the search dogs, which that I agree on. But there was obviously psychics saying that they knew who the fuck had did it. And then somebody sent Guardian Angels. I think that's a biker gang.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They had sent some of their members to patrol Atlanta.
Nice.
So then, Larry Rogers, who was 20, was last seen on March 30th getting into a faded green station wagon. So now, green, blue station wagon, pickup truck, with a light-skinned man who was later recognized as Wayne Williams.
Uh-huh.
Gotcha.
So now the trail is starting to come back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. On April 9th, Larry's body was found in an empty apartment building. He was found with a blue shirt stuffed in his shorts. And his cause of death was asphyxiation. I've been saying it this whole time, and now I can't say it. By strangulation. Who the fuck is writing me? So, on March, same, this was another one that there was sightings of him from March 25th to April 1st. Michael McIntosh, a 23-year-old who was supposed to been seen at different places. There was a shop owner who said that Michael kept crying, having been beat up. The shop owner said that he gave him some money and told him where was the nearest bus station, which was toward the Chattahoochee River. Ironically, Michael's body was found on April 20th in the bank of the Chattahoochee River. His cause of death was also asphyxiation.
Interesting.
Now, we... all the men that I'm talking about, that they're like a little older, like mm-hmm. they're adults, they were very childlike looking. So, the MO changed age-wise.
But not the way they look.
But not the way they look. And I think it changed age-wise because there was so much pressure on children being missing.
Right. Okay. So we're definitely dealing with somebody, obviously, of a pedophilia here.
Yes. On April 13, as more bodies kept being found, the FBI director, William Webster, said that there had been identified one set killer for at least four victims, but they did not have enough evidence to charge him.
Yeah. Oh, like no substantial evidence yeah, that it's him.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh,
yeah.
Which annoying.
Is I know. On April 21st, Jimmy Payne, a 21-year-old, was last seen at home. It was rumored that Payne wanted to change his identity as a man whose name was Fred has some sort of ID belonging to Payne. But on April 27th, Payne's body was found by a couple who was fishing on the Chattahoochee River, wearing nothing but his underwear, and his cause of death was, you guessed it, asphyxiation.
Damn.
On April 22nd, after the police was taken out to Riverside, because remember they were doing that,
right.
A rookie cop named Bob Campbell heard a splash in the water, and minutes later, they saw a station wagon driven by none other than Wayne Williams, and was stopped.
Finally.
What do you think Wayne Williams says to the police as soon as, like, they stop him? Take a wild guess.
What did I do? No, I'm kidding.
He said, "This is about those boys, huh?"
Oh, hell no. Okay, because you're not suspicious.
Okay. They said that Williams had a rope, tape, and gloves, but for whatever reason, he was let go as there was not enough evidence to arrest him.
Why are cops so fucking stupid?
I'm not sure why he couldn't just be detained and at least, like,
for questioning. Under
suspicion, because yeah. You were literally looking for somebody who's throwing rivers.
Bro, that reminds me of the Mia Marcano case.
Yep.
Oh my god, they literally had him right there, had all of the evidence, and the it wasn't substantial. They had the video of him carrying her blanket. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
So, Wayne Williams. Who is Wayne Williams?
A dirty son of a biscuit-eating bulldog.
Not a bulldog.
Sorry, doggies. Y'all deserve better.
they do. He was an only child to Homer and Faye Williams, who were both devoted teachers born on May 27. They were not both born on May 27. Williams was born on May 27,
1958. Gemini.
I know. That's the first thing I thought about that. Hey. He was raised in Dixie. I might have to slander this one. He was raised in the Dixie Hills neighborhood of Southwest Atlanta. William said that as soon as he graduated from school, a program which was part of the CIA asked him to join and taught him killing tactics.
And okay.
Then, yeah, and then like in later interviews, he said that he couldn't talk about it. Williams was known to exaggerate things, as he told people he was, like, super connected in the music industry. The men thought he was the Gucci man of the 80s. And
oh, my God. You just aged us.
Williams was a self-employed radio station who ran a radio station from his home.
Okay, a self-employed radio station from your home. You're giving me Ariel Castro vibes.
Not only that, but the profile said that he would be either changing jobs or self-employed.
Oh, we're here.
Yes.
We made it.
We made it.
360 and, turn on this case.
And the radio station was built by his parents at his, like, at their home, because he was like, oh, like, they were like, oh, we want to help you do your dreams. So William will also sometimes rent a studio, but it was said that he never brought anybody to sing. He just had the studio. I don't fucking know.
Why you have a studio? But because you do know, fun fact about studios, y'all, they're soundproof.
They are soundproof.
Ooh, child boo.
He was trying to remake a Jackson 5 type crew.
I already don't like it, Joe Jackson ass. Like,
exactly. It's very, very weird.
This is giving very odd.
Very odd. Williams was supposed to have been seen with at least two of the victims, and was to have said to drive a blue truck that belonged to his parents. The day after Williams was stopped and let go, he called on the press at his home, and he said, I'll talk to you guys as long as you guys want, as long as y'all keep my face off the cameras.
No, fool, no.
They literally did an interview with him, and like, from his neck down.
Okay, so why are we protecting his identity, but yet he out here killing little boys and shit?
Thank you. On May 11, so this is after Williams was, at least talked to, you know?
Okay.
William Barrett, 17, was last seen running an errand for his mother. According to the witness, they saw William get into a white car with a man carrying a purse. The next day, William's body was found in a wooded area. His death was ruled as he was killed by asphyxiation, by strangulation. Animal hairs were found on his body. But unlike the latest victims, William was fully clothed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Very interesting. On May 27, Nathaniel Carter was last seen at the entrance of a theater holding hands with none other than your boy, Wayne Williams.
Excuse me?
His body was discovered on May 24th in the Chattahoochee River. He was found naked, and his cause of death was asphyxiation. He had also been shot on the shoulder, but, you know, I don't know if that was I'm not sure when that happened. Nathaniel's mom and sister claimed that they had seen him with Wayne Williams, and but they had mixed up on the date that they seen him.
Okay. But they still saw him.
But they still saw him.
So, clue.
Big clue. And
I can't believe my man is at the fucking movie theater when he should be sitting in a jail cell.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying about this shit? Like, why do we have cops?
What is the foot?
Por qué? Because even back in the 80s, y'all were still idiots. Sorry.
Nathaniel was the last victim attributed to the Atlanta child murders.
So this is where this ends.
And this is when this ends. Oh, well, no, I have more, but this is for next episode.
Okay. Got it. Oh, okay. Part two. Got it. All right. Well, so,
join us next time.
We'll see you there.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Las Chicas del Crime. We hope you join us next time for another episode full of crime y chisme. Give us a follow on all our socials, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, which we will list in the description of the episode. Please also rate our show and leave us a review, as this helps bring awareness to our podcast. We appreciate it. Gracias.